Good evening, welcome. This is one of those nights. I want to stay here all night with you. I already feel the presence of God here. This is going to be good. I want to welcome you. We have a lot of guests tonight. I want to welcome you if you're a guest. This is a joint service, a joint Easter service with LCF and ECF. My name is Matt Henderson. I'm one of the elders at Lexington Christian Fellowship. So we welcome you here tonight. I have a couple of announcements before we jump into the Word. Tonight is going to be a great night. We've got a lot going on. After the teaching, we're going to have a worship song, and then tonight Ava Barlow is going to get baptized. So I know a lot of her friends are here. Praise the Lord. If you know anybody in the back, so the upper class is staying in here tonight, but if you know any in the back, people in the back that would like to come in, I'm going to ask you during that song, go grab them. If there are any teachers back there or younger children that would you'd like in here for that, go ahead and bring them in. And then after that, we are Sarah Henderson and the ballet troupe in the room behind the foyer after church. We'll be doing a ballet presentation. Everyone is welcome to join. That'll be after the baptism tonight, so that's exciting. I see a lot of some grandparents here that are here for that, so that's good. And then one last announcement that's maybe a little out of order, but I'm excited about it. Brent Henderson has hundreds of strawberry plants at his farm, and he lives in Scott County. It's not that far of a drive. He has invited us all to come pick up a strawberry plant. Not strawberries. Strawberry plants to plant at your house. So connect with Brent. Brent, would you raise your hand? He's right there. Okay. That's a good Easter announcement. Tubs. Pools. All right. Well, man, I want God to be glorified tonight. Do you? He is so worthy. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we long for you. We long for your presence. And we want to just be with you tonight in your word and with your people to offer you glory and honor and praise, God. We need you. We are your creation. We live by the power of your life in us. And we are excited to meet with you tonight, God. So come, send your Holy Spirit to be with each person in this room, God, that we would leave built up by your body and built up by the power of your Spirit in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good evening. Yes, Christ is risen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing for me to be here with you tonight to just bask in the glory of Jesus on this awesome day where we celebrate the fact that he is risen and that we are a people that participate in the life that we receive because that he conquered death and he was resurrected by the power of the Father. That life is now in us, and it is a wonderful thing. At Lexington Christian Fellowship, we've been studying through the book of Mark. And tonight, we're going to conclude our study tonight with the telling of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Our emphasis, just to give you some background, our emphasis in this study has been the revelation that Jesus is the King and that he is bringing a new and beautiful kingdom into the earth, and that is a kingdom of love. He is a king like no other king. He is the king above all other kings. Amen. And as we read this final chapter tonight, we're going to see that he is the king that has broken the power of death. He's broken the power of death. Praise the Lord. Last week, Dan Eaton brought us to the cross where Jesus voluntarily surrendered his life to be murdered by evil and despicable men who opposed him in his kingdom. Right? This is an important point. This is an important point. They did not take his life from him, but he willingly offered his life. He allowed others to lead him to the slaughter like a lamb, like a spotless, innocent lamb. And the manner of his death, it was brutal. and it was bloody, and it was torturous. And the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers not just put him to death, but they mocked him, and they despised him as they put him to death. And it was that in this moment that all of Jesus' disciples, he had amassed a group of men and women that were following him, all of them scattered as he went to the cross. And one of his closest disciples, Peter, denied that he even knew the man. In John 8, Jesus tells us this: I am the light of the world and the light of life. In this moment, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the light of life was extinguished.
And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Amen. I want to ask you to place yourself in that dark tomb with the dead body of Jesus for a moment. For 3 days, that lifeless body sat in the tomb. That room no doubt smelled like death. It looked like death, and it felt like death. A hopeless place, a place of defeat, a place of the end. You may compare that moment to when Joseph was left by his brothers in the pit, or when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, or when Moses was in that basket floating down the Nile, or when Daniel was sent to the lion's den, or when Noah and his family were holed up in an ark in the midst of a flood. I know ECF is here tonight. It may remind you of the words of Samwise Gamgee to Frodo. When he said, "It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered, full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end, because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way that it was when so much bad had happened?" Now I want you to think about Jesus' followers, the ones who had seen him cast out demons in his power, raise the dead, calm the seas, provide food for thousands, The ones whose hearts were stirred when he taught about grace and truth and love and peace, and of a kingdom that was not found in the strength of man, but in the hearts of men. The ones who had left all that they had to follow this Jesus, they were the ones that had dared to believe that Jesus was ushering in a new kind of kingdom. And now their king lay dead, rotting in a dark grave. Maybe you've experienced a situation similar to this in your life, a point when it seemed like you had no hope, that you were stuck in a dark cave with no way out. We're so blessed to have the scripture. In this moment, when all seemed lost, we hear of a man named Joseph, who was from a town called Arimathea. Joseph was a member of the council. More literally, he was a senator. He was likely part of the Sanhedrin, that Jewish judicial council who heard the accusations, the false accusations that were made against Jesus and then sent Jesus to be put to death by Pilate. He was there, probably. In Luke, we learn that Joseph was a righteous man, and he did not consent to the actions of that council. He did not believe that Jesus was guilty, and he did not believe he deserved to be put on a cross, to be crucified. It says in Mark that Joseph was looking for the kingdom of God. Joseph was also a wealthy man, and he had risen through the ranks of Jewish society strata, both in religious sense and in an economic sense, and he had attained pretty much anything you could want to attain in the kingdoms of men, but he was not satisfied with that. He was longing for something more. He was longing for the coming of a Messiah king who would bring a kingdom of love. Joseph was likely there when the high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And then he probably heard Jesus respond, "I am." And in that moment, he believed Jesus. And so when Joseph saw how Jesus was brutally murdered on the cross, he took courage. It says that he took courage. Joseph took courage. And he approached Pilate and he asked to take the body of Jesus and to bury it. I want you to know that this is a dangerous request because according to the Roman law, most corpses were left on the cross to decompose as a warning to others. But in this moment, Pilate granted Joseph's request and allowed him to take down the body of Jesus. And Joseph, full of compassion, purchased a very expensive linen shroud, and with the help of another disciple who we know met Jesus in the dark, a man named Nicodemus, he wrapped Jesus' lifeless body in this linen shroud. And Joseph took the body of Jesus, and he took it to his own tomb. He had carved out a tomb in the rock, and Joseph took him to that tomb and buried him in that tomb. And this brings to life a prophecy out of Isaiah 55, which predicted that they would make his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. And then after laying him in the tomb, Joseph took a great rock and had it placed on the front of that tomb. And we know that for 3 days, the body of Jesus remained in that tomb. Now, at the crucifixion, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John, and some of the other disciples were close to the cross, and they watched closely as Jesus breathed his last. But further away, the scripture specifically says further away, there were three women standing and watching, and they were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and a woman named Salome. We don't know why they stood at a distance. Maybe they didn't feel worthy to be among those that were close to the cross. Maybe they weren't significant enough to come close. But these women were beautiful, precious women. When Jesus was in Galilee doing ministry with his disciples, these women were part of that group of women who took care of the practical needs of Jesus and his disciples, right? They probably made them meals and washed their clothes. We know that they even used their own money to support Jesus so that he could conduct his ministry. And these three followed Jesus all the way from Galilee down to Jerusalem and to the cross. We know that at least the two Marys stayed behind after he breathed his last and watched as Joseph took Jesus to his tomb. Very early on the morning of the third day after Jesus had been crucified, when the sun came up, these women decided to bring spices to anoint the body of Jesus. These were women who had experienced the deep love of a Savior, the deep love of a king that made them feel accepted as part of the kingdom. And they loved him dearly, so that even after his death, they wanted to serve him. As they were going to the tomb, we learned that they were anxious and worrying about something. Jesus was teaching them a lesson even in this moment as they walked to the tomb. They were worried about how they were going to move that great stone that was in front of the tomb so that they could get in and anoint the body of Jesus. Do we have anybody in here tonight that worries sometimes? I do. I want to point something out about the worry these women were experiencing. They were worrying about something they did not need to worry about, weren't they? I think this is true about a lot of our worries. They were worrying about their ability to do something that God had already done for them, something he had already taken care of. He had moved that stone for them. But beyond that, they're about to learn that God had done something immeasurably greater than moving that stone. In Galatians 3:10, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power." I want to tell you tonight that whatever it is that you worry about, God can take care of it. But he can take care of immeasurably more than what you're worrying about, by his power, by the working of his great power. So when you worry, I want to encourage you. When you worry, think to yourself, there is something much greater that God wants to do than what I'm worrying about. There's something greater going on that he has in store. And so when these three women arrived at the tomb, the door was open, and they walked directly in, and Jesus was not there. Hallelujah. Jesus was not there. But there was a young man dressed in white, and the women, it says, they were alarmed. They were amazed. And this young man, he began to speak to them, and he said, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as I told you." That's some good news. Hallelujah. And it says, immediately after the women, they heard this, and they saw that Jesus wasn't there, they were seized with astonishment and fear, and they fled. They just ran out of the tomb in amazement. These three women were the first human beings to learn of the most significant event that has ever occurred in history. The Jesus that they knew and they loved, the Jesus that they saw breathe his last on the cross, the Jesus that they saw buried in a tomb and a rock moved in front of it, had just risen from the dead by the power of God. On the third day after his death, the power of God came upon Jesus and brought him back to life. right before their very eyes, the power of death was swallowed up by the power of God. The one who had created life in the beginning now showed that he was able to bring life back after death. And when these women heard of this and saw this with their own eyes, they were full of fear and astonishment because of the magnitude and the power of what was happening before them. Maybe in this moment they remembered the words of Jesus when he told them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." They now knew, because of the resurrection, in the words of that man, in his resurrection, that everything Jesus had said about his kingdom, everything that we hear about in the book of Mark about the kingdom of God, all the things that he had told his disciples were true. And not even death could stop the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see, all of the kingdoms of the earth had assembled at this time to oppose Jesus because he was threatening their authority and their rule in the earth. And they had all together put him to death. But when the power of God raised Jesus from the dead in that tomb, all of those kingdoms were defeated, utterly destroyed and defeated. They held no power. The Jewish kingdom that we read of false piety and rules and performative rituals was destroyed. The Roman kingdom and its military strength and its lust for glory was destroyed. The major spiritual enemies of the kingdom, who were tormenting men and women with sickness and blindness and demonic possession and false accusation, were destroyed. It says in Colossians 2:15, it tells us that Jesus' resurrection disarmed the rulers and authorities, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Can you say praise God for that? Now, these kingdoms and authorities, they have no hold over the sons and the daughters of God. We are free now to walk in the kingdom of love. But beyond this, there in that tomb, there is one last enemy that Jesus had to confront. And we've talked about this in our songs and in our prayers already tonight. But that enemy was death itself. Death had a grip on all of mankind because of sin. No man in his own power could escape the power of death. But because Jesus became a man and he experienced death as a man, when the power of God worked in him to raise him from the dead, King Jesus overcame death for all of us. He dealt with death for us. And as he was resurrected from the dead, we all get to participate in that very same resurrection that he earned for all of us. In Hebrews 2:15, it says, "Since therefore the children," that's us, "share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook in the same things." That is, he became human. "And through death, he destroyed the one who has power over death," that is the devil. "And he delivered all of those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." So now, any man, any woman who believes in Jesus and makes him king of their heart is no longer captive to the power of death, because that same power of God that went into the tomb and raised Jesus' dead body back to life, that power is in us through Jesus Christ. And it defeats the power of death in our bodies so that we are now alive to Christ right now, and we will live with him forever in his kingdom of love. Amen? Is that a reason to be excited? Is that a reason to praise the Lord? Death has no hold on the people of God. Death cannot stop the kingdom of love extending in the earth. We also know, and this is so precious, we know that because of this victory that Jesus won on the cross, in Philippians 2:9, it tells us that, you know what God did? He exalted Jesus to the highest place, and he gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. He is worthy of all praise. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, he was the victorious King of Kings, leading a kingdom of love and truth and power that could not be defeated by death. And all of his enemies were defeated. This is, we started our series asking about what is the gospel of the kingdom. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is the king, and he's bringing a kingdom into the earth that is undefeated, that is full of love and truth. Amen. Amen. Now, back in the tomb, that man in white, he told those three women to go and tell the disciples that Jesus was risen and that he was going to meet them in Galilee. But did you notice something kind of interesting about that? I think it's noteworthy that he said, go tell the disciples and Peter this good news. I want to end tonight by thinking about this. This shows us something so amazing about this kingdom of God. Where was Peter when we last heard about him? He had just denied Jesus and he was weeping. And then we move along with the story as Jesus goes to the cross. He had abandoned his teacher and his friend, the one who he believed and stated was the Son of God. And he didn't just sin by disobeying a rule. He abandoned Jesus when he was in his greatest moment of need. Peter left Jesus high and dry. I wonder the guilt that Peter was feeling in that moment, in those days, and as Jesus was on the cross. So it's a debt that he could never repay, right? But Jesus specifically told these women, I want you to go and tell Peter about what has happened. I want Peter to know. I want Peter to know that even though he hurt me and sinned against me, I still love him. And I want Peter to come meet me in Galilee. Because I want him to be one of my disciples. I want him to be part of my family. I want him to be part of the kingdom. Can you imagine how Peter felt when those women said, hey, listen, Peter, we were specifically told to tell you that Jesus wants you to come and meet him in Galilee. This is how the kingdom of God works. All those who have rejected God, all those who have sinned against him, those are the ones that are invited by the king to return to him because he loves them. He loves us. He wants to forgive us and draw us into the kingdom. Every sin he wants to forgive. We are his people. We are his sons and daughters. If we will believe in him and return and receive his forgiveness and make him king of our lives again, we get a place in the kingdom of God forever. And because of his death and resurrection, our sins can no longer keep us out of his kingdom because we're free. We're free to return to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Jake, you can come up. We're going to close with a song tonight, but I just want to close with a prayer tonight of exaltation to Jesus, that his kingdom has come and that he is king. And we have nothing to fear from death or any enemy. Amen. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship, and then we've got an awesome baptism. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you that you have given us your word, that it's powerful, that it is truth, that it brings revelation. And we want to thank you for the good news. The good news, Jesus, that you are a king that is faithful, that does not turn his back on his world or on his people, but you are a king that comes to redeem and to restore. We thank you that you humbled yourself and you became a servant and you went to the cross and you died. And we thank you that God, by your power, you rose your son from the death. And that you defeated all of the enemies of your kingdom and you defeated the power of death. And now we can enter into that kingdom because of the grace and the mercy that we receive from our Lord Jesus Christ. To the glory of the Father. Amen.